Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
It is time to welcome back to Sports Talk, another edition of SC Wild from DNR, and Major Billy Downer is joining us once again. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Phil. Always a pleasure to be here with you tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hopefully we're getting closer and closer to getting you back in the studio here with us so we can go face-to-face, mano-to-mano. We were just talking off-air.
No masks on.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Hopefully not too far. But you guys, DNR frontliners, you guys are getting your vaccinations and getting taken care of from that standpoint.
Yep, we are. We're just talking about that. Yep. So the 1A with the law enforcement and first responders are in that. And a lot of our officers are getting shots through local departments. But there's a larger effort for statewide to do that, as you know, the governor, other entities are trying to get more shots available. So certainly more opportunities for our officers to get their vaccinations if they choose to take them.
Now,
everybody's not going to choose to take that vaccine. So,
excellent. You would think some of your officers would not take the vaccine, but choose not to?
Yeah, some people may choose not to. Yeah, and particularly people who have already had COVID. They may not want to take the vaccine. They've already had it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not worried, you know. Anyway, so just a personal decision for everybody.
Oh, sure. We are here with Major Downer. We're talking about the great outdoors in South Carolina. A little cold right now, going to be rainy and cold next few days, but we've got some good weather on the way. And if you have a question or a comment or a concern about the outdoors, DNR, how things are handled, he's the man to reach right here, right now, 888-898-2525. We'd love to put you in contact with him. 888-898-2525 is how you can reach him right now. So a little bit off the topic of most things we talk about around here. You ever been ice fishing before?
No, I have not.
Would you like to?
I have not been ice fishing. That's something I've often thought about. I'm not sure that I want to sit out on the ice with a hole drilled in there and put a line down on the ice. I'm not sure if that would be my thing or not.
Well,
you know, who knows? It looks like a very cold affair.
It does. I was talking with somebody this past weekend who is from Michigan, and she was telling me about family and friends who would go out on Lake Michigan. You know, Lake Michigan freezes over in the height of the winter. I mean, it's like a solid block of ice, and like you can drive your car out there on either the lake or certain lakes or ponds, and they have these little huts. The fishermen have these little huts out on the frozen lake, and they sit in these huts and they drill their hole into the ice and they drop their line and they fish.
Right. So we have a little automatic thing that flag comes up when the fish bites. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah.
Well, it wouldn't interest me. I prefer a nice, you know, spring or summer day to, you know, a nice cold day to go fishing.
Well, it's cold here now, and like I talked to a friend of mine that had been catfishing in the last day or two. They're really well on catfish, but it's just very cold right now.
Yeah.
Weather's very cold.
When it gets this cold, what do the fish do? They all go deep?
Typically, yes. They go down deeper, and where the water's warmer in the deeper parts of the lakes, sure. But, you know, with the rain we're having right now, one of the things we'll talk about, you know, is a lot of rain, more rain coming this weekend. Fortunately, not winter weather, we hope, not like Texas is seeing. But with the rain, we're seeing some rivers rising. Watery River, Waccamaw are rising again. So they're going to be at levels that we may have seen some point last year. Hopefully not to the point we've seen in years past. But certainly we're watching that right now as we watch the rain coming in. So it's cold, but the rain right now is a concern for us, just making sure that flooding does not continue as it has in the past. But speaking of that,
yep.
If we can, Phil, let's talk about boating safety for a minute.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Been a lot of buzz in the last 2 years on boating safety when it comes to our 50-foot rule in our lakes and water lakes and waterways. The 50-foot rule, of course, says, you know, it's currently illegal to operate a boat in excess of idle speed within 50 feet of a moored or anchor vessel, a wharf, dock, bulkhead, pier, or person in the water, or within 100 yards of the Atlantic coastline. For most folks, that means you can't operate your boat and pull a wake within 50 feet of a dock. That's what most people look at. And so the lakes, as we get more and more people moving to our lakes, people like living on a lake. They put a dock out there. They want to tie their boat to the dock, and they don't want somebody coming by with a wake and causing that boat to get banged up on the dock or have damage. If you own a boat today, you know how expensive they are. It doesn't take much to get into the thousands of dollars of damage just by denting or scratching the side of a boat, much like a car today. You know, you bend your bumper up, it's going to cost $2,500 to fix it. So boats are not much different. They're just as expensive. But so you kind of have to balance that. You know, you go to live on the lake, you got to expect people on the lake are going to want to operate boats.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more people are moving to our lakes and moving in these channels and different sloughs where people have traditionally skied and things, now you've got people crowded into these channels and places that other people, have enjoyed for years maybe skiing. And now you can't do that because the docks are stretched out there, and now you're within 50 foot of a dock. But even still, the 50 feet, that's pretty close. So the new rule right now, as a response to that, is a Senate bill moving its way through the legislature, got approved today at a full committee. Just getting some support, much like the House bill last year did. It basically would change the distance to 100 feet on most of our major lakes and 150 feet on Lake Wylie, while leaving the current distance of 50 feet in place on the intracoastal waterway, which is very narrow, mm-hmm. and in narrower river systems where it's just impossible to put a 100-foot rule in place because the channel might not be 150 feet wide, some of the river systems we have. So, again, you know, a lot of the attention with wakes has to do with boating, skiing, and even more particular now, we're really pointing, there's a lot of energy being pointed at wake boats. We've talked about that in the past. Wake boats are boats that are specifically designed to create a large wave or quote-unquote wake behind the boat
mm-hmm.
to allow people to ski, wakeboard, or literally surf behind the boat. So, again, there's nothing wrong with a wake boat. There are plenty of people who own them. My daughter goes out on Lake Hartwell on a wake boat all the time. So it's not something illegal. The problem is those boats create such a deep wake. Those boats are designed in such a way they actually have ballasts or areas inside the boat that take on water. It pumps in water on purpose and makes the back of the boat very heavy, which makes the back of the boat go down in the water. And as you're speeding through the water, it makes that wave even larger because you're down deeper in the water in the back of that boat. And those large waves create this huge draft, which makes it fun for people who want to ski or possibly surf with a large wave. You can surf right behind the boat without even holding on to a rope.
Hmm.
I mean, it's a lot of fun for folks. But those larger waves, for every action's equal and opposite reaction, you learn that in physics in high school, that wave, a bigger wave, is going to dissipate farther over time. So that bigger wave is going to take longer to dissipate. So you take these wake boats in these tighter sloughs, even when you're within outside of 50 feet, that wake is swallowing docks. So 100 feet is going to be a lot better to protect against that. And again, there's two sides to every issue. So there's the folks that have the docks that don't want boats near them, and there's the people that have boats on the lake that want to be able to run their boats. So it's kind of a balancing act, but we've got to figure it out. So the 100-foot rule, moving to 100 feet will help with that. 150 feet on Lake Wylie is there because apparently in North Carolina, their rule is 150 feet. So the legislators up there want to make sure it's the same on both sides of the state line. Do you understand that?
Is it safe to assume that the people who are opposed to this, who have the boats and who are out there making the big wakes, they don't own docks and they're just out there running their boats and they don't care about docks?
Everybody that owns a wake boat doesn't necessarily own a dock. Mm. They put in a public landing. They may not have a dock. But a lot of those people have docks also. So again, two sides of the issue. Some people live on the lake. They want a dock. Don't want anybody putting any kind of wake into it. Some people have docks. They have boats, and they want to go out there and create wakes.
Hmm.
But they don't want the same wake on their dock. So it's kind of, again, two sides of the same issue. They're trying to maintain safety, maintain balance. So right now, this particular bill is making its way through to push that, again, limit to from 50 to 100 feet to allow a little bit greater distance to protect our docks. But again, protecting those tighter passages and tighter river systems so that you don't hamper somebody from running a John boat in the Black River, for instance.
All right.
So that's just one of the bills.
All right. Let me toss our number out there. I'll give you a chance to, like, blow your nose or something. You sound like you got a little cold or something going.
Got it. Go ahead.
888-898-2525. Justin in Somerville joining us tonight here on SC Wild. A question for Major Downer. Justin, good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Just a two-part question real quick. I'm moving into the Sumter County area. I had a relative say that, during the summertime, that snakes are kind of bad. Is there anything that I could put down? I'm not in favor of killing them, but just to keep them off of the property. Is there anything that I can put down? That's the first question. And the second question is, are there any programs coming up, Major, that will get these kids, let's say, off of Facebook and off of these phones and back into the wild?
Let me say, I'm in favor of killing the snakes, personally. But go ahead, Major.
Come on, Phil. All right, so two-part question. First question about snakes. Good question. A lot of different sides to that. So one of the biggest things in yards that you can do to keep snakes out is to keep, this is going to sound stupid, keep your grass cut. Maintain your grass cut as short, as short as you can. Don't create areas where snakes can hide. So cut your grass. Keep your grass cut. Keep your lawn manicured. But one of the things that during the spring and summer that gets sold in hardware stores across the Southeast is sulfur. There is a belief that sulfur, and actually there's a rattlesnake brown sulfur you can buy at Simpson's Hardware in Sumter. If you're living in Sumter, go to Simpson's Hardware. They got it. And you spread that sulfur out around the edge of your yard, and it is, quote, supposed to make snakes not want to crawl across it. It's supposed to be an irritant to their skin. Whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. But if it makes you feel better, put it out, because I can tell you there are hundreds of people that buy it every year because they keep stocking the shelves with it. So that's one thing. Main thing is keeping your grass cut. You know, don't have areas under the house. If you've got, and I hate to say this, but if you've got rodents, if you've got a rat problem, snakes going to be attracted to your house because that's food. So have your exterminator make sure you don't have any rats, mice, those kind of things. Those are all things to help prevent snakes. As far as the young people, that's been a big part of my career is the programs we have for our young people. We have several things out there in the spring and summer. We're hoping that our fishing rodeos will come back this year with COVID. We're hoping to do that. We'll see. They all got mostly canceled last year, but we're hoping to do our fishing rodeos. And this is basically throughout our regions across the state, we do basically free fishing for kids. We give out rod and reels, and we take them to a pond or a lake where we've stocked it with catfish, fingerlings, so they can have something to catch. That's something very popular. We've been doing that for years. So that's one of the programs we have out there. Our shooting sports programs, our archery in schools program, and our shotgun program, Scholastic Clay Target program, is involved in schools across the state. Very popular, but again, COVID has affected us there. We had to cancel our archery in schools state tournament because the Sumter Civic Center, where we hold that, is being used as a COVID vaccination site. So the COVID continues to challenge us at every spectrum, but we do have programs out there to get kids in the outdoors. Then there's our Take One, Make One program that has been continued. If you have a young person that doesn't have an opportunity to go outdoors, they have an interest in hunting, and you don't have an ability to take them, or you don't know enough about it, the Take One, Make One program is made for you to take young people and their parent or significant other out and teach them about the outdoors, how to hunt. They take a hunter education course, and they actually get mentored on hunts until they feel comfortable going on their own. So that's one of our great programs out there. We encourage you to get involved with that. So there's your two answers to those questions.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. 888-898-2525. I mean, you would agree with me, Major, that the only good snake is a dead snake, right?
No. feel snakes have a purpose in the world. I don't like venomous snakes any more than anybody else. And even a rat snake scares me when I'm going to go to the chicken pen. There's no good rat snake in a chicken pen.
You're scared of a snake, what do you think it does to me?
Well, I would love to see a video personally, but anyway.
Yeah.
we'll have to video that one day. But let's hit one more boating bill.
All right.
Folks know what's going on.
All right.
Another big bill that just got passage today. We were talking about before we started the show tonight. So there has been a push for several years now to have mandatory boater education in South Carolina. DNR certainly supports that. Today was a big moment because it got moved through the Senate as far as a full committee, and now we'll go to the Senate for vote. But there is for reading, actually. I got to remember my government class. Hmm. But it's a boater education bill, basically, that would do this. It makes it where it's going to phase in. So before everybody freaks out, say, wait a minute, I don't want to have boater education. So the discussion was happened today in the legislature in the committee meeting, and it was good discussion. And this is what everybody thinks. You know, a lot of people in South Carolina have grown up with boats. We talk about it. You can't go anywhere in this state without seeing a boat in somebody's backyard or front yard or under a shed or whatever else. So many people in this state have grown up boating. They were taught by their father or their uncle or whoever in their family. They've always boated. They feel comfortable boating. They don't have any problems. They're safe. I get that. But there are also another complement of folks that are moving to this state from other states who didn't have that. They're coming here, they're retiring, and they want to run a boat, and they may have never run a boat before. And so there's a lot of concern about that. And how do you approach that? Well, you can pick a date. If you pick a date, everybody born after this date is going to have to do it. And you can say, okay, we're going to go 40 years back and start there. It doesn't matter what date you pick. Somebody's going to get mad about it. They don't like the date. So right now, this current bill would not go into effect until July of 2022. And if you were 16 before that date, you will not have to take mandatory boater education the rest of your life. You'll be grandfathered in. But anybody born that was not 16 by that date of next year, if this bill goes through as it is, if they're not 16 on July 1st, of 2022, they would then be required to take a boater education course before they could operate a boat in this state. So eventually, years down the road, we would capture everybody, but it takes a slow, steady approach.
Can I ask you one question?
You can.
Would you let your 12-year-old drive a car on I-26?
Nope, I wouldn't.
Why would we let a 12-year-old, and I've seen them, I know you have too, driving a boat in a...
Well, no, I got it. So, yeah,
see what I'm saying?
I do. So this law basically requires whatever age you have to take the boater education course. Our boater education course is basically made on a sixth grade reading level. So you're talking around 12 years old. So sometimes a 10-year-old can pass that course. Sometimes younger than that can do it.
I don't care. I mean, seriously.
You got to put a rule somewhere.
But if the rule
is going to be you have to pass boater education course.
We're talking about boating safety here. We're talking about boating safety. I shudder to think that there's a 10 or 11 or 12-year-old driving a boat coming towards me for just that very reason. They're 10, 11, or 12, you know, or even 13 at least. Be driver's license age. What, do you have to be 15 to get your driver's license now, get your permit, whatever?
Right.
Do we have no age limitation here for driving a boat?
No, there's not. As long as they have passed. So if if the boat is under 10 horsepower, they don't have to have boater education, which means it's going very slow. If the boat's over 10 horsepower, they're going to have boater education if they were born after, if they weren't 16 by July 1st, 2022. So basically 2006. If they were born after July 1st, 2006, they will have to have boater education.
Mm-hmm.
So a 10-year-old passes the course, and they can take the internet course, or they can take an in-person course. If they've passed it, they can successfully, they can then go out and operate a boat by themselves. Now, it still goes down to parental decision there. If your child's passed the course, you still want to make sure that they understand safe driving techniques. And that's on every parent to do. But you have to start somewhere, and this is the law right now. It's not much different than it is now, except for if you're under 16, you have to have it now. And then if you turn 18 and you never take a boating course right now, you don't have to have it.
Yeah, but you know, so, as well as I do, you got some father out there and the family grew up on Buck Swamp and young Junior's 10 years old and they put him behind the wheel of a 75 horsepower Mercury and he goes, ooh, look at my boy out there driving that thing.
I understand that, but you have to start somewhere. And so this rule would create a mandatory boater education requirement. So that's a good thing. And we're excited and behind that. You have to start somewhere. Mm. And mandatory boater education starts there. Past that, it is on good common sense, just like anything else. Typically, though, you're right, Phil. The lakes have been treated differently as far as what we consider right and wrong with driving boats. We'll let a child get on a jet ski that'll go 60, 70 miles an hour, mm-hmm. but we wouldn't let them get on we wouldn't let them drive a car. I got it. The car's got brakes. A jet ski doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So good there's point. Some inherent
good
risk
point.
In
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. Good
well,
point.
That's always been my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So at least if they have to have boater education, you've got an opportunity to teach them safety, whether it's in an online course or in an in-person course. You've got an opportunity for them to be told about safety instead of willy-nilly getting out their own one and trusting mom or dad to have taught them something or, hey, they're looking at them today. So the course is a start. Again, in this state, look at how boating has changed in the last 20 years. In 2000, there were 382,000 boats. Now we've got over 500,000 recreational boats registered in the state.
Hmm.
It's an increase of almost 40% in 9 years. So 19 years. It's a lot of boats. We're currently ranked 6th per capita in the nation in registered vessels, a lot of boats in this state. So we're excited to see an opportunity for boater education to get front and center. A lot of people getting behind that. So again, yes, is it perfect? No, but yes, it is a start.
Mm-hmm.
We're happy to see a start for mandatory education.
Very good. Very good. So, wrapping things up, we got about a minute. What word to the wise do you want to leave with everybody? We'll see in a couple more weeks. What do you want people to take with them into the weekend?
Stay safe out there. Stay warm. It's going to be a lot of rain. If you're living on one of these river systems, you're operating a boat, just be careful this weekend as water levels continue to rise on on the river systems. Just, you know, watch your small craft advisories. Don't go out on these lakes and waterways when a small craft advisory is in place. And certainly on a river that's flooded, do not go out in those rivers when they're flooded, because there's going to be a whole lot more water coming down that river system, a lot of turbulence, and boats are not designed to take that. So we encourage people to stay off the rivers right now when they're high, because that's when accidents can happen. And always, if you're going to go out in a boat, make sure you wear a life jacket, especially this time of year when it's cold. Wear some type of float coat or wear warm gear for sure.
Mm. And real quick, when the rivers are cresting, they're at their highest, I guess you would say, the speed of the water picks up considerably, does it not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so it makes it hard on vessels, because if you make a hard turn or if you hit an object in the water, so when the water gets up like this, you may be carrying trees and things down the river with you that you don't think about or maybe submerged. And you hit that with a boat, it turns the boat sideways. All that water hits the side of that boat. The boat dips down, or you turn, or you lose control of the motor, and that boat jerks over, and water comes in. That boat will go down in seconds with all that the volume of water. So it's something to be very careful about. That's why we always tell people to be careful when water levels are this high, to stay off a lot of those river systems, because they're just too dangerous to be on.
Great advice. We thank you. And remember, if you're going to go ice fishing, make sure that the lake is totally frozen.
Absolutely.
That's my advice. Don't go out there on a half-frozen lake. Major, as always, we have enjoyed it. Thank you for being with us. Enjoy your weekend. We'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Major Billy Downer from DNR. Appreciate that, man. Appreciate DNR. Everything that they do to keep those of you who are in the great outdoors safe. And coming up with the laws and the regulations to try to keep everybody safe and happy on the water and in the woods and everywhere else. We appreciate it. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, everybody, for being with us tonight. Have yourselves a great night. We'll see you tomorrow here on Sports Talk.